Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I want to share the story of yesterday's session where I restarted my AD&D Roll20 campaign after a 2+ year hiatus. I shared this tweet that summarizes it like this. 8 players, 8 characters, 3 of them new player characters. We get the new characters into the party, and they investigated stories of a two-headed giant, and they found one. They had a plan, but one spell choice changed that plan, but they managed to snag victory from the jaws of defeat. Someone reading that tweet encouraged me to make a podcast episode to give more details. So here I'll give some more details. As I mentioned on the last episode, of all the preparations I was making, that included putting my Dungeon Master session summaries, player-friendly, on campaignwiki.org, and this made it easy for the party to figure out what threads they wanted to pursue. I also took some comments from the players that were already in the game had made, and I formed what I called the list that had all the things they indicated they were interested in pursuing. And one of the things was a former caravan guard named Mark. Now, the party arrived in the town of Farthorpe in Session 1 as caravan guards, because the town had been affected by a severe earthquake, and a few days after the earthquake, a horde of undead swept through the valley and took out the small settlements and villages, and this was the largest of the villages, and it is a mess. And anyway, the worst of the undead horde is gone, but there's tales of riches to be had, so the adventurers come, and they come in as caravan guards, and they convince 3 of the other caravan guards to hire on with them to do something besides the dull work of the caravan guard. Mark was one of those caravan guards, and he worked with the party for maybe 1 or 2 sessions, but then he got hired by the owner of the local tavern, and this guy became a tavern keeper as a way to make money off of all the influx of adventurers and other people, because prior to the earthquake, he had the next biggest house in the village, and he took advantage of his dead or fled neighbors and fellow farmers, and he has hired Mark to quote-unquote herd his cattle. Basically, he's rustling cattle because the true owners are nowhere to be found, and Mark is getting enough money to make his ends meet, and the innkeeper is getting rich off of free meat. And so on Mark's travels up and down the valley, he claims to have been chased by a two-headed giant. And the party didn't make too much of it at the time, but they really latched onto that idea during this session. Now, I will also need to say that the names of Mark and the other 2 guards I generated randomly, and I generated their stats randomly, and Mark is a not-too-bright guy. So that's one reason why people don't believe him. When we started up yesterday, we got all the preliminaries out of the way, and we got the 3 new players worked into the adventuring party. The adventuring party took care of some other lingering business and got some other information on other items on their list of things to do. And then they were off. Now, I don't have rules as written. I have quite a lot of things that some might consider odd. So I'll mention a few things here, and don't worry about it. It's my game. I said it's okay. I'm the game master here. So the party now consists of a half-elf cleric ranger, an elf fighter magic user, a gnome thief illusionist, a human druid, and a human magic user, and the 3 new characters are a human monk, a human ranger, and a human magic user, and this new human magic user is actually playing a subclass that I came up with. It's not near fleshed out, called a vexillologist. I mentioned that briefly last time as well, and I'll have a link in the show notes to where I had a blog article about that. And so they found Mark, and they got him to show the party where he saw the giant with 2 heads, and Mark was excited about this because somebody actually believes him, and they're going to do something to prove it so everybody else will believe him. And so they head southwest towards the hills along the southern edge of Farthorpe Valley, and they come upon this rough clearing, and in this clearing is a crude bark twisted rope with kobolds strung up on it as if they're being cured between a couple of trees. And there's rough, crude trail that the party follows, and it was obviously cleared by something giant-sized, as all of the branches are cleared far up above where a rider on horseback would be worried about. And after a bit of following this trail, they decide wisely not to keep going on the trail, because they want to avoid learning the hard way if there is more than one giant. And so the party has fought hill giants before, and they came upon the hill giants, and their plan was executed with precision. Their plans for dealing with the Ettins was not executed with precision. So they decided to set a trap. So, shout out to Colin here, they decided to build a shallow spike pit under the kobolds, and they disguised it, and they did a phantasmal force to disguise it, and they chopped on a tree enough until it was almost ready to fall. And then, out of nowhere, the gnome decides to use his Speak with Animals ability for the first time ever the whole campaign, trying to look for a small animal to find out if he's seen giants around or heard about giants. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, you find a mole. And he's like, great, he's blind. And the rest of the party says, oh, this will be great. He'll be a great early warning system because he'll be sensitive to the vibrations of the approaching giant. And I'm like, crap, I hadn't thought that's through very well when I decided it was a mole. So I rolled a reaction roll, and it was sort of so-so, and it demanded worms for payment. And so they go, well, we just got done digging this pit. Are there any worms over there? Well, yeah, there's lots of worms. So they have a satisfied and full mole. It was able to alert them as it heard vibrations before they could hear. And so they got out of sight, and I randomly rolled, and the thing stepped on the pit, and it's howling in pain and jumping around on one foot, and the gnome makes the last chop on the tree, and the falling tree and the line of kobolds kind of tangles it up, and then the party begins their attack with bowfire and darts and so forth, and it's hilarious how poorly they rolled. And our gnome fighter magic, or excuse me, the elf fighter magic user is renowned for not being able to hit when he rolls, and that proved true this time. And the druid decides to cast Entangle centered on the Ettin. Well, this thwarted the plan of the cleric ranger, who has a warhorse and a heavy lance and was just going to charge down there and ride it down. So by the action of the druid, the class built to fight giants, and they had two rangers, no doubt, could not approach without either getting entangled or slowed by the entangle spell. So the ranger decides to launch missiles instead of charging down there. The Ettin has one arm in range of the gnome illusionist, and he scratches him for 1 point. The next round, the gnome illusionist decides to make himself invisible, but the Ettin won initiative. Oh, no, the Ettin hit him for the 1 point. That spoiled his spell. So the cleric ranger then rides and saves the gnome and gets him out of the way. The party keeps pelting him with missile fire, and he just looks like he's a pincushion for the few hits they did get on him, and the damage not very great. The Ettin wings a rock and knocks down one of their hirelings. The magic user that has been with the party for a while decides to cast continual light at one of the heads and misses, or because the Ettin made it save, so it goes off behind them. So at least they got this bright silhouette. They can see this guy clearly, no problem hitting. But after the hireling gets knocked down and they're not having much luck, and the Ettin is roaring and drawing attention as it echoes through the hills, he decides to hitch up his wagon and get it pointed back towards town so they can be ready to beat a retreat, because he can see the writing on the wall. They're still taking forever to drop this guy because they can't hit him well enough. So the cleric ranger says, screw it, I'm going to ride in there and jump off of it, off my horse, and attack it with my halberd. So he rides in there, the horse fails its save, and it gets entangled, but he's able to jump off, and he takes his swing and he misses, and then when he lands, he fails his save, so he's entangled next to the entangled Ettin. So now the Ettin is able to get both attacks on the Cleric Ranger. One attack hits, the other attack misses. The party gets more missile fire in. The Ranger gets a good solid hit, the most damage of any single attack. The Etten hits him with both attacks, knocks him down to one hit point. The Ranger misses on the next attack. Thankfully, the Druid decided to try a spell that he hadn't used before called Insect Swarm. And that was the right play here to save the Ranger, because Insect Swarm causes the affected target to take only two hit points around, but they can't do anything but swat at the Insect Swarm. So that stopped the thing from causing damage to the Ranger, and the combination of the Ranger, the missile fire, and so forth, the Insect Swarm did 2 points of damage when they had the thing down to 1 point, and it falls. They breathe a sigh of relief as they have finally beat this giant. It took them a lot longer than it did when they fought multiple hill giants because their plan was not followed. So if you have a good plan, stick with the plan. If you have rangers in the party and you're going to go up against giants, don't prevent the rangers from charging in there and hacking away, because the rangers do a lot more damage and have a better chance of hitting a giant than anybody else. They hear the answering roars of more than two throats. So more than one Etten is coming, or maybe it's not Ettens, but more than one, more than two maybe, of something is coming, and it's big and loud. And they manage to haul the body of the Etten onto their wagon and load up the line of kobolds to take their larder. They scoop up the injured hireling and keep him from dying. They heal up those that are injured, and they ride away as the sound of the Ettens is too close for comfort. But because of the continual light spell on the ground, there's this bright beacon, and it provides enough light in the darkness to make it difficult for the giants to see the retreating party as they approach, and the party has no idea how close they came to being discovered by more than one something, and they make it back to town. And they had no random encounters, either going to the giants or coming back from the giants. That was it. They almost lost one of the characters that had been there since session one. They almost got met up with multiple somethings. It was quite the thing, and I couldn't believe how many times that Etten managed to miss people, but when it hit, it caused some damage. That was our adventure Sunday. It was a lot of fun. We started late, and all the other things they pursued getting ready to go after the giant with two heads took a while, so we didn't get done till 5 o'clock, which that's cool. I didn't mind going a little late trying to get back on track. Now that we're on track, hopefully we can get a lot more accomplished with a 3-hour session, maybe 4-hour. We'll see what mood I'm in when next week rolls around. But there's the story. I hope I didn't leave anything critical out. I don't know if any of my players are going to listen to this. They can correct me where I left something out or got it in the wrong order, but that's how I remember it. And it was quite the deal. I'm really glad I decided to do this. It was a lot of work that I put into getting organized and stuff. I didn't have to do that much work to get organized, but it helped me to get it all straight in my head. I really thank Alex Schroeder for making campaignwiki.org free. If you want to document your campaign, that's a good way to do it. If you know simple markup language, it's easy to use. It's all based in text files. You can download it as a backup so that you've got it in case he ever ceases to exist. You'll still have all your data and won't get lost in a proprietary format. So anyway, that was my little plug there for a free service. I hope this all finds you well. I hope you're surviving the situation of quarantine and lockdown and all that other stuff. And as always, game on.